Here's the verse, Discover Your Destiny, part one here, and here's your verse. John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, so that he hears the Spirit of truth, he will guide you into all truth. That's all I want to get out of that verse. When he, the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. Now, just got to make some points right here that Spirit of truth for us came on the day of Pentecost. And you received him, believe this or not, when you were baptized. The Holy Spirit came into you, and so the Holy Spirit has been there. Now, I know a lot of people, they don't believe me. They think the Holy Spirit has to show up today. Listen, the Holy Spirit is in you. So now this Holy Spirit I'm talking about that we get because of the precious blood of Jesus Christ dwells in you, and he will guide you into all truth. Now, this might explain to you today what we're going to go through, why you're where you're at. Guide means to show the way. It means to bring you into an unknown territory. If I knew where I was going, I wouldn't need a guide. You know what I mean? I could go myself. It means I'm starting out on a journey, and I'm not sure where it's going to go. See, there's one thing about being on a journey, knowing where I'm going. But what about all the journeys I'm starting on all again? I don't know where I'm going. Almost that would sound foolish. It means I'm plunging out into the unknown future here. Jesus is saying, because this is red letter, Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit is your guide. As you're committed to him, he will be your guide into the unknown. I always think, like Star Trek, going boldly where no man has gone before. And guess who's the guide? The Holy Spirit. I got a friend, I've never been there, but I've got a friend, he was in Africa on missions, and he was done with this one village and he wanted to go to the next village, and all around him was jungle. See, here we got roads and signs and Google Maps. Well, they don't have Google Maps. So he asked the guy, he said, how do we get to the next village? Which way do we go? I mean, I'm surrounded by jungle. And this guy says, Pa, which is a sign of respect. He said, Pa, I am the map. And that took on a whole new meaning when Jesus said, I am the way. You know, this Bible ain't a road map. Jesus is the way. You with me? In the wilderness, when Jesus came to the lost sheep, when the shepherd come to the lost sheep, he didn't come to the lost sheep and say, here's a Bible, find your way back. Carried him back. So here, the Holy Spirit will guide you. He didn't say the Bible will guide you. The Bible's good. Don't throw your Bibles away. But the Holy Spirit will guide you into this journey where you're going. You don't know where you're going. In this, I'm committing to that guide. What happens if I'm not committed to the guide? He's going to run off and leave me. Right? I get lost. So it's a committing also to this, to the person of the Lord Jesus. That's who the Holy Spirit is. I give myself into the hands of a person, and that person here is going to lead me. He's the map. He's the trail. He's the journey. He's the destination. And this Holy Spirit that's among us, he is the living presence of Jesus. Yeah. And he shall guide you. He's going to lead you. Which, at this point, you don't know. There's no map. You're in the hands of the Holy Spirit. He's guiding you. You remember, and I won't go over there because I don't, well, let me just go get it anyway. Joshua. Y'all know Joshua. Y'all heard of Joshua? Listen to what he says here. Joshua 3. They commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark. We just spent 22 weeks looking at Exodus and the ark. And we know that ark is, it's the throne, but the ark is Jesus. And what does Jesus say to the Holy Spirit, who is the living presence of Jesus? When you see him, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, you shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space where, let me just give you the last part. For ye have not passed this way before. Going somewhere. We're on a journey. Even if we don't know yet. And you know, to say that we're on a journey, even if you don't know where you're going, is a healing statement. And I know you're thinking, why is that? Do you realize today that kids are taught that we come from nowhere, that you're nobody and we're going nowhere, that just lightning hit some slime and out come an amoeba and grew legs and boom, here you are? That the world, that creation has no plan. It was a roll of the cosmic dice. You just lost it. If that's the case, then there's no purpose to life. There's no meaning to existence. So to say that we're here on purpose and we're on a journey, it brings healing. It brings purpose. It brings meaning to why I'm here. And to us, Christians, if I would say, okay, turn to the beginning of the Gospels, I hope you don't turn to Matthew. Because the beginning of the Gospel for a Christian is Genesis. The beginning of the Gospels to us is in the beginning God. Maker of heaven and earth, the Apostles' Creed says. So you didn't come from nowhere. You come from someone.
Yes.
You came from someone. And that somebody, that someone is God.
Yes.
And he had a plan and he had a purpose. And all of creation is not an accident. And you're not an accident. You're fashioned by the fingers of God. There's a design to your life. I don't know if you know this, but there's a design to your life. You're headed somewhere. Christians believe history's a straight line. I know you guys know this saying. We'll come back to it maybe a little bit. What comes around goes around. You know, that's Far Eastern religion. See, it's amazing how much of that stuff gets in us. What comes around goes around. Thank God we don't live by what comes around goes around. We live in a new covenant called grace. You know? What comes around goes means you do to somebody and it's going to come back around on you. See how much of this mixture gets in our religion? It gets in our everything. And if it comes around and goes around, then what are we doing? We're just circling the mountain. It's pointless. We're going nowhere. Christians say it's upheld. They say it began, creation began, and it's upheld by the word of his power, and it's going somewhere. We're on a journey. There's intent. There's purpose. There's thrust. I use that word because I used to work on aircraft, and that's how a jet gets through the air. It's thrust. Propels it along. There's thrust in your life. There's design. There's purpose. I mean, the things that I'm telling you, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. So there's things going on in your life you don't even realize what God is doing. And if I don't understand that God is the one that's taking me through life and he's the purpose, If I don't understand that, then I end up fighting my own destiny. I end up fighting my own purpose. Then my life becomes chaotic. Does anybody here ever have a chaotic life? You wonder why? Well, hopefully today you'll understand why, maybe. We need to understand what's going on. What's going on in this journey so that I can cooperate with the guide. The guide being the Holy Spirit, the living presence of Jesus that's in you. When I get a unction of what he's up to, then my life begins to become meaningful and beautiful and have purpose. You know, when you start to understand what's going on here. And man, I would love to be able to tell a million people this today, because, you know, do you realize how many people out there today are fighting the devil, fighting this, fighting that, doing all this other stuff? They have no idea what's going on. They spend a whole life battling. There's a rest left unto the people of God. There's no battle. You follow the guide. He leads you on these journeys. God is the Holy Spirit. When I begin to understand this, I don't know if you've ever been there, guys, but when I get up in the morning and get out of bed, my life has meaning. It has purpose. I don't get up with dread. I've been down that road before when you just don't want to get up. Life is too chaotic. There's too much stuff going on in work and family and everything else. You would just soon stay in bed. Now see, I want to bring the gospel to you guys, but I want to bring it in a practical way so that you can see what's going on, understand what is happening in your life. And when you understand it's a journey every day, not a Sunday morning. I hope the gospel, the things that we preach, get brought over into everyday life. You know what I mean? That we be more than Sunday morning Christians. But when I begin to understand that, I want you to understand, when you get up in the morning, just say this phrase: he shall guide you into all truth. Before your feet hit the bed, before your feet hit the floor, Roger, wait a minute, I've got some excitement to my life today, because he shall guide me into all truth. I mean, do you believe that? I mean, we finally come to the conclusion after 4 or 5 weeks, Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, if Jesus Christ is Lord, guess what? The Lord shall guide you into all truth. Today, when you get up, Monday morning, tomorrow, you don't know where you're going, what you're going to do. You don't know what's on the books. You don't know what the agenda is. See, Derek, he works, he gets a schedule. Derek, you need to be here. Guess what? The Holy Spirit don't give you a schedule. When you get up in the morning, he says, you know what, Derek, you're going somewhere you've never been before, but he who is the Lord shall guide you into all truth. Now let's go. You with me? So I can wake up in the morning with some excitement, you know. I love how we were talking about Wednesday night about good and evil, good days, bad days. You remember how we were talking about that? Y'all have to go get the lesson. I can sell it to you. $100, Roger. $100. I gotta go take it down off YouTube real quick and then put the money price on it. But anyway, to what we call good days and what we call bad days, and you know, I'm just reiterating this a little bit: the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Good, it meant in the sense not of don't go and sin, but may everything go your way. No hurt come to you. And you know, sometimes, guys, hurt comes to us in that day. But in this day, we think it's a good day. Everything went my way. But 2 years from now, we look back on that day, and we made some of the worst decisions that day, and it was a terrible day. But we judged it and said it was a good day. And then that day that we call evil, meaning I got hurt and bad things happened that day, and then boom, you know, at the end of that 2 years later, I look back and say, thank God for that day. So don't be too quick to judge your day. Okay? That's side note. More on that on Wednesday. He shall guide you into all truth. Notice in Scripture that our daily walk, our daily living is called a walk. It's called a walk with God. Y'all realize Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. You realize that Derek walks with God. Roger walks with God. Patty walks with God. Denise walks with God. Tracy walks with God. You realize that? So don't say that who walk with God. Guess what? You walk with God. You walk in God, and God walks in you. Okay, so this walk, so that means when I'm mowing and run into bees, he's there. I'm mowing in Christ. Paul says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you've been called. We'll talk about that more later, but it's a walk. It's a journey. The journey is with God. The guide of this journey is the Holy Spirit. So what's all this about anyway? What's it all about? As we, you know, if your life was like me, in my life, I go from one situation to the other. I don't know how you get along, but I'm thinking. I mean, as soon as I get to one, Derek, and I'm thinking, it's over, rest. Something else comes up. I think, Lord, what is this rest that you tell me in the Bible? Somebody lied. I don't know who wrote Hebrews. We need to cut chapter 4 and 3 out because it ain't happening. I don't know how you read the Bible, but do you get to those points and you think, if it ain't one thing, it's something else. So what is the point of all this? The point is this. God is revealing himself to us. And this journey that we're on here, now listen to me, I know what you've been told. You've been told the journey is to go to heaven when you die. If that's the case, the Lord just make us in heaven. Why put us here? Why allow the devil in the garden? Do you realize that he allowed the devil in the garden? He could have destroyed the devil a long time before he let him in the garden. He let him in there! Do you think he slipped up and said, "Dadgone, that sneaky devil got in there and tempted Adam and Eve, and I didn't know what was going on. Now what am I going to do?" Do you believe that? If so, we need to talk. He's got him on a string, got him on a leash. I don't care. I mean, he's not up there thinking, "Oh, that daggone devil, he got over on you." We're on a journey into the heart of God. That's where we're going, into the very heart of God. It's a journey and discovery into the incredibleness, into the greatness of God. This God who has revealed himself to us in the person of Jesus Christ. And I know you were going to think me and Patty talked here, but we didn't. But Moses, right out of the gate, says, "God, I got to know your name. If we're on a journey, what's your name?" Now, if you was to ask me my name, I would say my name's Jim, because that's the handle I go by. That separates me from all the others, so y'all don't call me "Hey, you." So it's just a handle. But the Hebrews, and I love it because we, even the Indians, had names that meant something. You know, Sitting Bull. You know, their names meant something. That's the names mean it. Of course, they do now. They do what you do now is you take a rock and you throw it in a barrel, and then it goes bing, bang, boom, ding, ding, ding. So that's what we're going to call our kids now. I don't know where they come up with these names, but anyway, God, what is your name? Well, and what that meant was, what is your character? Who are you? Yes. Tell me your character. Don't just say, "Hey, my name is Fred. I'm the God Fred." I need to know who you are. If we're going to begin this journey, God, I mean, because this is what it was, if we're going to begin this journey, I need to know who you are. Who are you, God? And you know, names spoke of character, and every time in the Bible when their character changed, their name changed. I don't know if you realize that. There was a change of name, so there was a change of character. So Moses is asking God, who are you? Who really are you? God, God, open up your heart to me. Tell me who you are. I was looking last night and was reading, and we think of the burning bush. And we think of the burning bush, and okay, God, he comes to Moses. Moses, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Okay, I got it. Boom, go. There's a two-chapter conversation now. Chapter 3 and chapter 4 is a conversation taking place at the bush. And I love it because Moses didn't just jump up and say, yeah, I'll go. This is great. Awesome. He said, wait a minute. Time out. I'm amazed that the bush is burning here. I'm still watching my sheep over there. And God, I want to know first though, who are you? I mean, before you start working miracles, hand in the bosom, hand out of the bosom, rod down, and all this other stuff, I got to know who you are. I got to tell you, I'm not sure if I want to go. I'm going to give you, I mean, I love, just go back and read, it's two chapters. But there's a conversation, what we've been talking about, God speaks to us. There's a conversation between God and Moses. God's question is, I really want to know who you are. God says, well, okay, if you want to know who I am, then here's my name. I am that I am. Well, thanks. That really helps. That really helps. Cleared it up for me. One interpretation of I am that I am, you know, we get it over here in the English, translated out of the Greek from the Hebrew. You know, it's written in Hebrew, translated in Greek, now it's brought over in English. One interpretation of that is, I am the becoming one, or the one who becomes. So Moses asks, who are you? God smiles and says, I'm the becoming one. That is, I will become to you, Moses, who I am. I will become to you who I am. I can't tell you right now. Can't learn God out of a book. Can't go to school and learn about him. He's the becoming one. I will become, Moses, to you who I am. I will be to you in your personal history who I am. You right now you don't know who I am, but you know what? I mean, I can say this about God. I can look in my history and tell you who God is. Right? I'm still on a journey, still discovering who he is. And my history will change as I progress in this journey, and he'll become even more to me than who he is right now. You see? So I'm ever on a discovery into the heart of God. God is saying, live life, Moses. And in all life's crazy situations, you'll discover who I am. I made known to you in your history. I made known to you in all the fiery trials. We don't like the fiery trials. Go to a lot of churches and you're in a fiery trial and they'll say the devil's after you. You must have sinned. You must have did something wrong. But Peter says they're precious. More precious than gold tried in the fire is the fiery trial. And guess who allowed the fiery trial to come upon you? Jesus Christ is Lord. Maybe you thought you was doing, you know, and maybe you can look at the situations you're in and yeah, maybe you caused them. Yeah. Here he is in all the fiery trials. It's where you learn to discover who God is. God is saying, I'm the one who becomes to you. You'll never get to the end of discovering who I am. So Moses, I can't just give you a name like Fred. Say, that's it. No, I'm the becoming one. Every week of your life, every day, every moment of your life, you're on a journey into the heart of God. You're on a journey there to know who he is. And at the same time, to learn who you are. I think Denise said, when you know me, you'll know you. So as you discover who God is, you will discover who you are. And I'm telling you what's one of the major, major things that's wrong with Christians today is they don't know who they are. And how can they know who they are if they don't know who God is? If they don't know who God is, they can't know who they are. If they don't know who they are, they don't know who God is. These two things work hand in hand, not one without the other. I don't know if you realize this. I mean, there's just a few of us here. Do you realize right here and now in this room the power of God that is in here? I mean, do you ever think about that? I mean, my goodness. Think about this. The Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, dwells in each and every one of you. I don't know if you ever think about this, that your body is the temple, the living God of the Holy Spirit. There used to be a temple. I heard some people talking yesterday, talking Friday, man, they want to go back to Israel. They want to build that temple up over there. Yeah, we got to get that thing going. You know, we got to get the red cows going. We got to get that thing built up. And why do you think God had them tear it down? Why do you think? Because the church still yet today does not know they are the temple of the living God. They don't know. I made this comment the other day. People think, well, you know what? Sunday morning, I'm going to the house of God. You realize that the house of God was mowing out there yesterday. You realize the house of God went to Walmart last night about 8:30. The house of God was back there buying some water. The house of God was in Walmart. And I told somebody, I said, you know what? This building up here, that you sell motorcycles here. And if it's a house of God, it's pretty poor because we got a leak. The house of God's got a water leak. Pitiful house of God, isn't it? Pitiful house of God gets, you know, daggone mice. Pitiful house of God. I mean, how in the world could that happen? How in the world could a spider be in the house of God? You know, you ever think about that? But yet, that's where we are mentally. We believe that. And we don't believe that we are the house of God, that we are the temple of the living God. Paul would say, don't you know, the reason Corinthian church you're having trouble is because you don't know who you are. I mean, when you realize you're the house of the living God, it's not something you go to, it's who you are. You don't know that the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart? You don't know that? That the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. How often do we know that? How often do we act like it? We act like we're in a chaotic mess most of the time. I mean, do you realize the love potential that's here? The potential that's in you? The potential? Y'all know what potential is. I mean, it could happen. The potential's there. The potential is there. The same spirit. I mean, you think it's amazing that a guy who's begging alms and Peter says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, rise up and walk. We're so amazed with that, we'll say those was miracles for the early church. We'll say those was, you know, God doesn't do that anymore. Well, let me tell you something. God didn't do that. Peter did. It was Christ in Peter. It didn't. It's right through Peter. So much potential that when Peter walked down the street, they put people out there to put him in the shadow. So much power that Paul is preaching and preaching and finally gets tired of this little girl and he just says, demons come out of her. You're nagging me too much. You know, he let it go on for a long time. He knew, and he just let it go on and on and on. Finally he says, you know what? Just hush and demons be out of her. Well, they got so mad because she was the money-making soothsayer of the town, they beat him and put him in jail. Same power's in you. We don't believe it. We don't believe it. So if I mean, how am I ever going to discover the power that's in me? The love that is in me. How am I ever going to discover that? How? He, the Holy Spirit, shall what? Guide you into all truth. How are you going to discover? The Holy Spirit shall guide you into all these unknown territories. And you know, as he's guiding me, does this ever happen to you? I can't say it about Tracy because I know all our neighbors. They're family. But you ever think, I mean, you ever get to a nice place and all of a sudden the bummiest neighbor you ever seen moves in next to you? Lord God, how did you let this happen? I mean, here I'm on my journey. And I don't know about you, but a lot of people move around on the railroad a whole lot. And, you know, you get everything is nice and comfortable. And all of a sudden, some wretched dude shows up and stays drunk all the time. Every word out of his mouth is a cuss word. And he's mean and hates everybody and everything. And I'm thinking, Lord, I got to work with this guy. What are you doing? I mean, does these things ever happen to you? I mean, or do you live in a bubble? My bubble got busted. I mean, in the middle of this journey, I mean, the kids ain't here today. In the middle of this journey, the kids do the stupidest things. What, I could have had a moment of rest, but you wrecked a car. Now what am I going to do? All the leaves blowed off my money tree. I can't get that stupid thing to bloom at all. You know, well, what are we going to do? But then in the middle of that, I discover within me a love that has been shed abroad in my heart. A love that's beyond me, a God love, a love that I can now love the unlovable instead of busting them upside the head like I want to. I find myself in situations of natural weakness, knowing that it's too insurmountable. I can't do it. It's too big. But what happens in the middle of that? I discover the strength of God that is in me. In my weakness, His strength is made perfect. But listen, you got to be in a situation to discover your weakness. Yes. See, we don't want that. I don't want to discover my weakness. Well, until you do. Listen, here it is. When you know me, you'll know you. When you know your weakness, you'll know His strength. But until you know your weakness, you won't know His strength. But my God, we don't want to get down there and learn my weakness, do we? He's on a journey. He will guide you into all truth. And see, this is what I think as I'm on this journey. I'm thinking, Lord, when we started out on this journey, I thought, man, I can do this. This is awesome. I can do it. And here we go. And then all of a sudden, bam, boom, 1,700 things happen at one time. And I'm like, Lord, why did you leave me here? You ever wonder about Israel coming out of Egypt? Who led them to the Red Sea? They didn't have a map. Well, they would have stole Moses and says, Moses, you ignorant dude, you got a map and you didn't even read it right. He led them down through the pass and they get to a Red Sea in front of them. Okay, we can't go that way. Which way are we going to go? And right behind them is Pharaoh's army and cliffs on both sides. They go on nowhere. I mean, unless, you know, like Dunkirk. Y'all remember Dunkirk? When all the little boats come over and get all the people and rescue them and take them back. Unless, you know, the Babylonians are sending a bunch of boats over to rescue them. And guess what? No boats came. And we're standing there and we're thinking, God, what have you done? You led me into this place here. These people behind me want to kill me. Now I've got a choice. What can I do? Drowned? Or be killed with a sword. Great choice, God. Really. I am that I am, huh? Really. But what would you say at that moment? You would say, this is a bad day. this is a bad day. I'm going to judge this day right now and say, this is a bad day. What did they discover there? Man, they discovered the awesomeness and credibleness of God. A God who that very day destroyed all their enemies, parted the sea. They walked right on through to the other side. Matter of fact, on this side, God, you've let us down. On that side, they sang praise. All in the same day. Who was leading them on that journey? The Holy Spirit. Because they followed the cloud. They followed the fiery pillar, who was the Holy Spirit leading and guiding them. So sometimes in your journey, there's a Red Sea in front of you. And everybody wants to kill you behind you. So it's not all fun. He becomes to me. And as He becomes to me who He is, I discover who I am in Him. Because of His grace. It's a journey. Discovered who I am in this relationship to Him. And in that process, you know what He's wanting to do for us? Grow us up. Grow us up. You can look at a child and say there's a lot of potential in that child right there, but you and I both know the child, until he becomes an adult, can never reach that potential, even though it's there. But he's got to grow up to come into that potential. So the church, we need to grow up to come into that potential. Be who you was created to be. And we're all on this journey. We're all on different journeys. Yet it's one journey. Yet every journey carries us deeper into the heart of God. Every journey discovers us to ourselves. And we're all at different points in this journey. Maybe I just come to the end of one journey and I'm starting another. Maybe you're right in the middle of a journey. Maybe you've been on a journey for 2 weeks. We're all at different points, but we're all on journeys. You sitting here right now are all on a journey. And we better understand how the journey works. Because if I don't know how the journey works, I'm liable to be discouraged. Thinking about, I ought to be farther ahead, I ought to be here, I ought to be there, I ought to know this. You know what I mean? And I get discouraged, I get stuck in the journey. Because I don't know what's been happening. And if I don't know what's been happening, I sure ain't going to know what's about to happen. So there's elements on a journey, and I'm just sharing some stuff with you here. When you start a journey, the first thing about a journey is that I call it a challenge time. It can be exciting, it can be fearful. Especially if you don't like change. Anybody don't like change, Tracy? She's probably going to kill me. She don't like change. So anytime there's change, it's uncomfortable. It's fearful. I don't like it. I like where I'm at. I know what's about to take place. I know. You see? So anything new comes along, I don't like it. Some people do. People have different personalities. They do. So to one, it may be exciting. You know, me and Tracy go out to eat, and I'm like, man, that looks good. I want to try that. Tracy's like, chicken. I know where I'm at. You know, people are that way. I'm excited. So you come to this fearful thing. You come to this exciting thing, but it's a challenge time. Something brand new has been. What happens is the Holy Spirit comes in your life and says, it's time for you to learn something new. So this truth gets dropped in your life. Boom, there it is. Pow! And out of the blue, somebody starts giving you truth that you never had before. Like Melchizedek. And you know, we're here on Wednesday night. Patty's just being quiet, scratching her head. Hang on a minute. Hang on. Now you won't find none of this on the tape because I erased it all out. But for an hour, we're like, hang on there just a second. Because it's truth that's laid out there. So you're just like, now wait a minute. I've never heard that before. Stop it. Time out. Challenge. And maybe it looks exciting. Maybe it don't. Maybe it's fearful. What if we go that way? I don't know what to do. Wait a minute. Let me just back off and investigate. Let me go investigate. The Holy Spirit comes in and says, hey, guess what, Patty? This is our next assignment. Here we go. Our next assignment. This is the next step of the journey. So then it becomes a time of curiosity. Where are we going, Lord? What are we doing? What is this truth? I don't know. I don't know if I like it. I don't know if I know where we're going. I don't really like this idea. I want to know more, but then I'm scared what this might lead to. Or I could get mad and refuse the journey and say, heck, I ain't going anywhere. I'm going to sit right here. Okay? You can do that. And go nowhere. Or it's a time of investigation. You know, the Bereans, they went and investigated. Paul, what you said, we like it. Pretty good. I don't know, but we're going to go check it out. We're going to go check it out. We're going to investigate what you say. That's good. I hope what I say challenges you, and I hope you go check it out. It's a time of investigation. It's supposed to be. I mean, you don't just eat anything that's put before you. There's some investigating. I don't know. Right? Isn't there? You know, do you just jump in with a great big spoonful and put it into your mouth? No, you're going to try it. Let me just nibble on a little bit. Smells okay. I don't know. There's some investigation. There's curiosity. Guys, I'm talking about our Christian journey here into the heart of God when He lays truth out into your life. Maybe today what I'm saying, you're just checking it out. Maybe you're just curious. I bet you won't be curious when we eat. You'll dive right into that. But let me tell you something, guys. Now listen to me. The time of investigation and curiosity has to end. And that ends in commitment. So you see, there's a time of curiosity. And then that ends, and then there's a commitment to the journey. Okay, I understand we're on a journey. I don't know where we're going, Lord, but here I am. I'm committed to you. Jesus Christ is Lord. Here we go. I know, Lord, you're not going to lead me into destruction. I know who you are. I'm going to go, and here we go. You'll lead me and guide me into all truth. Here we go. I cut the ropes. You know what? Like when we went fishing, we tied our boat off to the dock. There comes a time when we cast off. We let the ropes loose. There was a time in Elisha's life that he was to plow and to raise crops. And there was a time in his life when he killed the oxen, he burnt the plow, and there was no going back. Once you cast off, there's no going back. Here we go. So there's a time that we set sail on this journey. I'm committed, Lord. Here we go. I don't know where we're going. You're the captain of the ship. We set sail. We've loosed from the dock. Going with God. And you know, sometimes even in my own journey, guys, things that I thought was truth, I let off. I set sail. And I went and found out it wasn't truth. But it was a journey I needed to be on. I needed to run that course. God let me go, and He went with me in that course. And we, you know, I saw something. I thought, man, this is sparkly. It looks like a good truth. And I followed it out. And I got to the end, and I said, well, this is nothing. Yeah, now you know that. Now let's go this way. And the Lord takes me on another journey. So don't despise the day of you. Don't despise the day of those journeys. You see, you're discovering. I mean, it's as important to discover who God is as discover who He's not. Some of the journeys I've been on, I discovered he's not that way. It's not who he is. So it wasn't a waste of time. And the final stage of the journey is when, you know, when you begin the journey, that you got the message. You got it. At the end of the journey, the message has got you. You with me? That's when you become a living epistle. That's when, you know, there's no verse in the Bible that says go out and do witness. Not one verse in the Bible says go do witness. It says you'll be witnesses. That means you have become the living witness. Wherever you work, whatever you're doing, your family, work, job, go to Walmart, you are there as a living epistle. You are there as a light. The message has got you. You've been changed from the inside out. And then as you go on this journey and you feel like you've got it all together and it's all going good, the Holy Spirit lays some other truth right back in your heart and you feel like now you know nothing. You're right back to square one. I don't know where I'm going, what I'm doing. I don't know how this fits together. And here we go again. That's the way we go, ain't it, Holy Ghost? Sometimes, I mean, you know, the Lord will give you the truth. And, you know, a lot of people, they have a truth. And they never moved from that truth since it was 5 or 6 years old. They never began a journey. Okay, they went to church, they got it, they got it all figured out, and they sat right there. I'm going to tell you what, in the last 5 or 6 years, I've discovered more about God than I could possibly imagine. But it wasn't because I was there saying, I want to know more. I'll just be dragged along. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just being dragged along, carried along, pushed along, thrust along. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration of this. Just think about how you came to Christ. Now, I know it's different for us, but somewhere in there you heard the gospel broke through and you heard. And then it became a time of challenge for you. You might want to tell me, oh, first time I heard, I believed and I was baptized and man, I ain't looked back. You're a liar. You're all lying. You had that challenge time, and it sunk down in your heart, and some pricked in your brain, and so you was curious. Even if you refused it the first time, I'll never join that church. You ever say that? I'll never go. I ain't gonna fool with that. I'm not gonna do it. See, that's a necessary part of the journey, because at least you're taking enough time to investigate. And investigating is important. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be like them. And then the Holy Spirit was working with all the people in your life, and just everybody was around, and you was just being drawn from, you know, I mean, all kinds of ways, you know, you were just being drawn in. You became curious. You wondered what it would be like to be a Christian. Will my friends still like me? You know, I got to go to school and be a Christian. You know, I mean, what am I going to do? I mean, am I still going to... You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, will I still be able to watch football? Can I still go to the movies? I mean, can I still play guitar? I'm a Christian. The church I went to, you're not supposed to. You know, what all I got to give up? So I'm curious. You know, I'm checking the cost. Right? I'm counting the cost. But then there came a time of commitment when I committed to it. And listen, biblically speaking, right out of the Bible here, commitment is not saying a sinner's prayer or signing some card or coming up front. Commitment was baptism. People that come forward just want a closer look. They're investigating. Commitment was baptism. Do you realize in the Roman Empire, you weren't counted as a Christian until you were baptized? You couldn't be thrown to the lions unless you were baptized, because they had picky lions. Yeah, Patty's looking at me like, what are you talking about? Yeah, the lions just wanted to eat Christians. They didn't want no half flakes. No. So if you wanted to be a good meal for the lion, you had to be baptized. Now, I know I'm telling you crazy, and you're thinking, why would you do that? Because you ain't able to understand the Bible, but they were baptized, and then they'd get thrown to the lions. The Romans wouldn't even count them a Christian unless they were baptized. And I know I'm telling you all that, and I know it sounds strange, but it's fuzzy today how you come into the church. You know, in this church over there, you come in this way. In this church over here, you come in this way. You know, you sign cards, go to class, and say this prayer, come forward, do whatever. In the Bible, you got baptized. I'm in. I'm committed. I'm baptized. But then what's next? I start to understand what I got myself into. The gospel begins to make inroads into your life. And now I can state for me to live as Christ. I'm no longer an investigator. I've moved beyond realizing that Jesus died for my sins. I realized that I died with Him. I was crucified with Him. I discovered that. I remember when I discovered that. I can tell you right where I was, guys. I was on the road, working on a railroad in Charlotte. And I was on Charlotte to Columbia, driving. Was in traffic in Charlotte. You know, you don't get out of traffic going south until you get past Rock Hill. I'm sitting there, man, I discovered it. God had been laying it out for me for a long time, but then I saw it. He brought me on this journey, and I saw it. I died with Christ. I know it may sound strange to you, but I mean, I remember it's 90 miles from Charlotte to Columbia. Cried the whole way. It's a great discovery. In that discovery, guys, I realized that I didn't have to be scared of God anymore. I didn't have to be scared of Him anymore. I realized I didn't have to walk in condemnation anymore. That I was crucified with Christ. Now, I didn't know where we were going. I didn't know where else that was going to lead me. But man, And you know, that leads you to the final stage of that journey, which is the message that's got me. Remember Paul says, be ye followers of me. That word followers there was imitators. Paul was telling them, I'm no longer preaching the gospel to you. Now you've become living epistles. Now what I've told you here, that's the big journey. But within that, we're all on these little journeys. Maybe you've discovered the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, there's a discovery into that. Maybe you just discovered a call on your life that you want to be involved in a certain way. You think it's an ideal that you just had in your brain, but yet it keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And the church as a whole can go through a journey. I mean, we went through a whole. We started out on a journey remodeling up here. That was a church as a whole. We're remodeling. We're doing it. I mean, we're all involved. Then I mean, there's investigating in the journey. How much is it going to cost? How are we going to do this? Who's going to do it? And then there's a committal to it. And then, boom, we step out on the journey. You got to understand how it works or you get stuck. And people, they get stuck in certain parts of journey. Some get stuck and investigate. And they come every Sunday and all they do is investigate. Some make a hobby out of committing and they come forward to an altar every week and they make a recommitment or a rededication. At some point in time, we got to move on in the journey. So understand the stage and move on. I know when a journey's about to begin. And I'm trying to hurry here. You know, how do you know when a journey is about to begin? Well, I get this feeling of restlessness. I can't explain it, but I just feel restless. I've been fine with the way things are, and now all of a sudden I ain't fine with the way they are anymore. You guys know what I'm talking about? I get a feeling of boredom. Why do I get a feeling? I mean, you guys ever get bored? Maybe you don't. Maybe you're too... got it going on. But I can know sometimes like man, I feel like it's so great. And then all of a sudden I'll get bored. And I'll feel bad. I used to feel bad about it. I would say, Lord, how can I be bored with you? But I am. I'm bored. Who caused that boredom? He did. He made me bored. He made me restless. You know what he did? He come into my heart. The love of God was shed abroad in my heart. And see, think about my heart here, and it's full. Full. You know what full means? That means I can't get anything else in there. But the Holy Spirit come in there and stretched me. And now, that same amount that was in there ain't enough. Because I never worked and I'm restless. You guys know what's happening in the United States? The United States, there's a great boredom going on in the United States. Our kids are bored. Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead and guide you if we just understand what's going on and get on with the journey. The Holy Spirit caused that boredom. Because what's in there ain't enough. I want to bring you on this journey so that you can discover who I am and discover who you are. So the Holy Spirit caused all of that. Now I don't have to feel, because I used to feel horrified. Oh God, I'm bored. I can't tell God I'm bored. I mean, you know, there was a time all the day when I would read this Bible 12 hours a day. I couldn't get enough. And there were some times when I opened the Bible and say, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Well, that's enough for today. Jesus wept. That's enough for today. Bored with it. You guys ever get bored reading the Bible? Liars. Y'all bored reading the Bible. Why? Because he's wanting to bring you on a discovery. And I don't know why we start on journeys when we begin. I don't know why it's the Holy Spirit's business. I don't know why I didn't start growing a beard at 2 years old. Got to a certain age and the switch went on. And all of a sudden I got to start shaving. You know, when I got to a certain age, I'm going to lose my hair. I don't know why. It's the Holy Spirit's business. But he brings us on this journey. I've learned as might as well not fight it. I know we do. That's part of the journey too. Sometimes the journey hits like an earthquake. It's not too nice. We brought into a whole new situation. It's forced upon us. Sometimes you start a new journey. It could be the death of a loved one. Somebody that dies. I mean, you've never lived without them in your life before. Boom, they're gone. You're on a new journey. You're going to discover God in ways that you never dreamed of before. Well, we don't like that journey. Maybe your job, you got moved, you're all over the place. Oh, it would be nice, and we think about it. Oh, it'd be nice, I could work right here. And we picture it all in my mind, but no, Derek, I don't want you working right here. You're going to go plumb up here. You're going to go to Waynesboro, and then I'm going to send you to Kingsburg. Then I'm going to send you down. Then you're going to be in St. Paul. God, what are you doing? Stay with me. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you into all truth. Well, a discovery here. I hear this, you know, work on a railroad, guys traveling, they hate it. I don't know what I'm doing. I said, man, you're on a journey. Literally. We're all on this journey. I know the first part of this thing, it's scary. It's very scary for the Holy Spirit to lead us into this place we haven't been before. You'll insist on going where we've never been before. I'm like a little puppy sniffing around, you know. Really, I'm within 2 minutes, Jeff. 3 minutes, maybe. It's like I go into a restaurant, you know, what are you going to have? I don't know yet. Let me just read the menu. You ever go in the store, and I hate it when I go in the store. Sir, can I help you? I'm not ready to commit. I'm still investigating. When I'm ready to commit, I'll tell you. And sometimes you've committed before you've been in, but you know, I'm investigating. First thing I gotta do, you know, I gotta look at the price tag. Why? Because I gotta count the cost. You think that's just something made up? Listen, it was in the Bible. It said, before anybody goes to build a tower, they get together and they count the cost. My God, you're crazy if you don't count the cost. Investigate. It's a necessary part of the journey. Philip comes to Nathanael. Hey, we've discovered Jesus. We found him. We found the Messiah. Any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come and see. It's a time of questioning. It's a time of thinking. Listen, it's a time of doubting. God's not asking you to have a lobotomy to be a Christian. Doesn't want you to be ignorant. gave us a brain. Faith doesn't mean you don't think. Sometimes the questions go on for quite some time. You understand what I'm saying? It doesn't want you to not think. But in the church, that's what they told us. Oh, just have faith. And be stupid. Okay, I just have faith. I'm on a 30-story building. Just have faith. Step out in faith. You're going to die. You understand what I'm telling you? Paul, when he preached the gospels to him, many times it says he debated with them. He never said, you got to be saved right now. I mean, what if y'all leave the church service? You go out there and the train runs over, you die. You're going to hell. That is not in the Bible. It is not in Paul, Peter, James, John, Jesus. Nobody ever said, if you die today, where are you going to spend eternity? Nobody. It's not in there. There's no verse in the Bible. There's no passages. None of that is in there. Paul debated with them. Jesus debated with them. You understand? That's all just made up stuff. Trying to get you into the committal stage. If you die today, hurry, commit, commit, commit. God wants you to know what you're getting into. Come and see. Come up here, John. Come and see. Heaven's open to you. Just come and see. Come and dine. Come and eat. Just, you know, come and sit down at my table. And if you like it, stay. That's what he's saying. Come in here, dine with me, you know. Enjoy the meal. Come sniff it. See what it smells like. Whenever God puts you on this journey, don't be afraid of questions. Don't be afraid to talk to him and ask him questions. Don't be afraid of holding back a little bit. Don't be afraid of it. He's not going to be mad at you. How many times did everybody come to Jesus and say, oh, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. Anything you want to do. Jesus, I'm with you, buddy. Yeah, what do we got to do to follow you? Oh, Peter, can you drink the cup that I'm about to drink, be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized? I don't know, Peter, better think twice. Rooster's going to crow. You're probably going to deny me. Oh, I mean, it's going to be a bad night for you there. You know, I understand. Just hold back a little bit. Jesus will follow you. Well, let the dead bury the dead. I don't know. You know, be careful. Now, I mean, you would think Jesus would be saying, man, we had a good church service today. They was all following me. Everybody joined in. I mean, Jesus would preach a sermon, Roger and Ed all leave. Then he would say, are you all going to leave too? Where else could we go? Got the words of eternal life. I mean, this advance in God is the most serious thing in life, this journey. Don't be afraid of being afraid. Every new journey means I'm moving away from the comfortable, from the familiar. I'm going where I haven't been. And you know, that becomes very uncomfortable. Very stressful, it can be. I mean, right now, God's predictable. I know what God's like. I know who he is. I know how he's going to act in this situation. I know how I'm supposed to pray to him. I know I got it all figured out. And then all of a sudden, earthquake, nothing's working anymore. I don't know how to handle it. It's fearful. And you know, people will stay in a current situation, even if it's hurtful, because the fear of the unknown is greater. People will do that. There's a phrase in the Bible, and we're going to be done here. I know it went over. Called, it shall come to pass. It says, in the last days, it shall come to pass. Sometimes it says, in the end of the world, or the end of the age. Those phrases don't mean the end of time. The Hebrews wrote this, okay? And to the Hebrews, the phrase last days meant the pain which marked the end of something in order that something can be born. Jesus came once in the end of the world. I mean, it says it. Jesus came. It says in the last days, he, what was this talking about? There's lots of pain involved so that something else could be born. They would look at a woman in the ninth month of her pregnancy and they would say, she's in the last days. She's in the last days. You're coming to a period of intense pain so that life shall come forth. The birth of our nation was marked with war. A declaration of independence. You think they just lit off fireworks? They signed a declaration and gunshots were fired. We go through many last days. And there's a pain that gives birth to life. Gives birth to a whole new understanding of God, a whole new realization of who I am. I'm going to quit right here. So there's a death that takes place. There's a pain of death that takes place in my life to give rise to a resurrection that comes forth. So this is our journey, guys. Discover your destiny. I'll be right there.